It's all Ben can do not to open his own window and yell across Division Street to the kid. Be careful. The words are in his throat. Where are your parents? But he can see the parents, too. The entire house, except for the boy's room, lit up in the night like a love letter to Con Ed. The mother sits at the kitchen table, bent over a magazine, a wine glass near her elbow. The shape of the father can be made out in the gym they built over the garage. The man is rowing like a maniac, as if propelling himself toward a drowning person. The house across the street used to belong to the Platts, and before that, to the McCarthys. Back when he and Mimi had first moved into the neighborhood, when Division Street actually divided, though it was considered rude to talk about it, the more desirable part of town from the houses closer to the train station, there were no home gym additions, no pool houses like the one that seemed to spring up overnight behind the Berkelhammers' old house, no outdoor fireplaces and elaborate sound systems built into mossy stone walls. A lone car slowly makes its way down Division and turns on Poplar. In the distance, the yowling of a cat. The stiff leaves from the holly bush scrape against the kitchen window downstairs. Ben had meant to ask the gardener to dig it up last fall before it rotted any more of the house's old clapboards, but with everything else going on, it had slipped his mind. Now, it's about to be somebody else's problem. The new owners, a couple he hasn't met, are relocating from Cleveland, along with two small children, and one of those sad-eyed basset hounds. So this is how he's going to spend this last night, then. Wrapped in his flannel robe, gazing out his bedroom window, absorbing every sight and sound of this place where he has lived more years than any other. He is committing it all to memory. 40 years. He and Mimi used to make fun of people who would say treacly asinine things like, "It all goes by so fast." But now, here he is. 40 years since he and Mimi moved into this house. Mimi was pregnant with Theo and Sarah was in diapers. They were probably not so very different from the Cleveland couple, imagining just how life would be. Downstairs, all the rooms are filled with boxes. These are stacked floor to ceiling and labeled according to destination. SW, for the China, Mimi's silver, most of the good linens, all to be shipped to Sarah in Santa Monica, though why she could possibly want more stuff than she already has is beyond him. His daughter has never been the sentimental type, but maybe now in middle age she is softening. TW, for the thousands of records, actual vinyl, for which Theo has purchased and restored a turntable in his Brooklyn loft. Also being shipped to Theo are boxes labeled BW Files, representing Ben's medical practice dating back to his residency. What else can he do with the files? Burn them? No. He will leave them in the care of his son. The boy has spotted him. As he has for the last several nights, he raises his hand and waves, a child's wave, fluttering his fingers. Ben unlatches his window and slides it upward. The cold air hits him in the chest. "Hey, kid." He knows the boy's name well. Waldo, a hard name to forget, but it feels too familiar to use it. Even though the family has lived across the street for a decade now, they've tended to keep to themselves. When they first moved in, Mimi never had a chance to walk over with her usual plate of cookies and a note welcoming them to the neighborhood. She used to keep copies of a list of helpful hints. The AMP on Grandview gets its fish fresh from Fulton Street. The second grade teacher is a weak link, but Mrs. Hill, who teaches third, is a gem. Ben can see Mimi still, as she was during those years of what they now call parenting, as if describing an activity like jogging or hiking. Her wavy dark hair piled into a messy knot, her long legs tucked into ski boots, her easy laugh. These folks leave first thing in the morning, the father in a brand new Lexus hybrid, the mother in a Prius, cars that don't make a sound. And as dusk falls, they return, gliding silently into the garage, the automatic doors closing behind them. The boy doesn't play on the street the way Sarah and Theo used to.